Okay, reading from Sri Bhakti Sundarbha. Forget me. Anuchet 2:43. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Omigyanatimarandasya, Pananjana Shalakaya, Vaksudam Mulatam Yena, Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha, Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam, Apitam Yena Bhutale, Shayam Rupa Kadhamayam, Tadati Sapadantikam, Adadamas Chanandante, Idam Yache Puna Puna, Shrimadrupa Padamboja, Kulisham Janma Janmani, Paragyu Bhakti Visham Priyatnai, Apayam Amanadipshamandam, Tatam Buhliya Paradu Paduki, Sanatanastam Prabhumatsriyami, Pancha Kalpa Karubhyasya, Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Syadvaita Gadadha, Sivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anuchet 2:43, the association of saints is effective in yielding its fruits, even if an individual is without proper awareness, as indicated by Devahuti. And then Jiva Goswami quotes a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Text 55. So anyway, I'll read that verse. Association for sense gratification is certainly the path of bondage. But the same type of association performed with a saintly person leads to the path of liberation, even if performed without awareness or knowledge. This is actually in the story of Devahuti and Kardama Muni. She approached him for a selfish reason, not as a saint. But still, by his power, she got benefit. So that's the point being made here. Now, I'm just going to, before I go on here, I'm just going to just put this a little in context because somehow I missed last week. And I'll explain the philosophical reason I missed last week. Goodness leads to knowledge. And the lower modes lead to passion and ignorance, and the symptoms of passion and ignorance are loss of memory and forgetfulness. So I guess Tuesday at 12 I left, and I had this extensive travel where I visited one person. It took 2 hours. And then I drove another an hour and a half where I was staying. Then I drove the next day an hour and a half back into the city. And then I drove back out out of the city back to where I was going through the Holland Tunnel and traffic jams. And then somehow when I got back, the reason I was rushing back was to get to the program. When I got back to where I was staying, I just forgot about the program. And it's just classic Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter. I was just associating with too many lower modes by driving that car. 7.5 hours in 2 days going from places to place. And therefore, what I normally would, I just forgot. Until somehow or other, Rupi was able to call me, but it was already like 10 to 9 where he finally located where I was. So I felt really bad. So I'm going to give a little summary. You know, we're on the section of Bhakti Sandarbha, which is describing the practices of Vaidhi Bhakti, of how to perform devotional service according to the scriptures. And it began with Sharanagati, you know, taking shelter in your relationship with Krishna, having full faith. But that relationship solves all needs. That's faith in my relationship with Krishna. Therefore, you take shelter in your relationship with Krishna. Vrijan Prabhu always gives a very nice little test in your anxiety. What do you take shelter of? You know, food, distraction, you know, revenge. Really, you know, that's shelter in that, and that's the door to bhakti. And then describes the relationship with Guru specifically in developing a relationship with Krishna, because what line of teachers you take shelter of, what guru you take shelter of, what sampradaya you take shelter of, depends your relation. If you, for a specific flavor of love, you have to come in a particular line. And then from that came the point that it's also good to associate with other devotees, providing they're in harmony with the spiritual master, you know. And there was some detailed discussion, which we're not going to go into now. And therefore, it is therefore discussed service to Vaishnavas, which had two divisions. Parichasanga, which means association. You're just in their presence. And parichari, you actually do service to them. And it's discussing first prasanga, just being in the presence of a saintly person. And the effects that did have, and it described that no other process can control Krishna. What does control Krishna mean? It means to develop affection for Krishna, where he's forced to reciprocate with you. So, no other process is as powerful for developing devotional service. And there's a concept that's being developed all along within the Bhakti Sandarbha that the way the process of bhakti as a means of realizing the absolute truth, bhakti means to turn towards God or worship Him, to become aware of God, and therefore to turn towards God. And that awareness of God, because we have a relationship with God, which comes, the symptom is worship. Turning away, the symptom is ignorance, forgetfulness of God, turning away from God. That awareness develops your natural devotion towards Krishna. So in that regard, this process of sat-seva is the most powerful association with devotees. Of course, they may highlight one process over another for particular reasons, like kirtan over smaran, and you know, different ways the processes may be in some hierarchical form, but it's understood that the means or the method or the process that actually makes you advance is the awareness. And of course, different people can gain that awareness in different ways. But without sat-seva, the initial awareness of God will not begin. Without sat-seva, the initial awareness of God will not develop, whatever process you're taking to. It's that saintly person who's focused on God and being in His association. And we can think of the saintly people that inspire us to become better devotees. And what is it about them? That they're focused so intensely on Krishna. I remember specifically Prabhupada's room in Vrindavan, coming into that room. How inspiring it was, because Prabhupada was so intensely focused on Krishna. So intensely. And everything is in his presence was for Krishna's service. And of course, Prabhupada you know, his method, and he focused on preaching. He's thinking how to deliver Krishna consciousness. And he showed us how intense a focus of, on Krishna that is. To actually purely be focusing on how to deliver Krishna consciousness to others. Plus, you know, other people may do it in different ways. You know, there's great saints, they're sitting in one place and just chanting and reading, and, you know, and it's inspiring. Prabhupada was just focused. In fact, one saint in Vrindavan was, you know, seeing, because people in Vrindavan, you think more about sitting in one place just chanting Hare Krishna, trying to figure out Prabhupada's spiritual life. And he said, preaching was his bhajan. Preaching was his bhajan. Always talking about Krishna, always planning how to spread Krishna consciousness. One day I was in Dallas and Prabhupada was outside his room. Jagadish Maharaj was the GBC. So you could see Prabhupada just outside his room. Jagadish said, something that he's thinking of, the movement, how to spread Krishna consciousness. You know? It was so intense. But in this, and you know, and what is that? That means kirtan and giving classes and speaking about Krishna, etc. It's not different than, it's kirtan. It's the process of kirtan preaching. But you know, you can think, even now, you can, everyone in the class should just think of a contemporary devotee that particularly inspires them. Or you can think of a few if you don't want to be sectarian. You know, or offend anybody, but you know, think of the devotees that inspire you. It's because they're, you know, they're so focused on Krishna. That means a pure heart. It just doesn't mean an activity. It means there's no motive. That's their plan. It's not that there's something else behind it. They, you know, it's not for profit, adoration, and distinction. In their heart, they want to serve Krishna, and that's what they're doing. And that kind of action of purity of love attracts you to love. Attracts you to Krishna. So this satseva is very, very powerful to attract one. And there's two levels, primary and secondary. I guess primary control means, with love. And it's the most powerful. Secondary means, you know, you can perform devotional services, perform the activities, and become liberated and get benedictions. That also controls Krishna. It's also a type of love. When it's fully with devotion, fully with praying, fully with love, it's called primary control. And then it gave examples of devotees, of all kinds of, not Brahmins, you know, with all types of people and animals and, you know, whatever it is, and caste and demons, and how they all achieved. And it's so powerful that they didn't need any other discipline. Just that it's a very, this 11th canto, what's the chapter? The 11th canto, 12th chapter at the beginning is very powerful. And, the examples were given, and it's so powerful you don't need any other discipline. And an example was given of Vitrasura because in his example, it was directly, I believe, you know, benediction by Krishna, but he analyzes things like this to show that even when it appears that, because satsanga can mean, because it says by satsanga, and sometimes commentators say it was matsanga, that Krishna is saying by my association. But he said either way, even if it's association by Krishna, his sangha, if you trace it back, it always comes to the association of some devotee. You trace it back. It's always the association of the devotee. And then it gave examples of what's called primary control by that love in Vrindavan, how so many people got that prema. And it describes, it's very interesting, when it describes gopis who got prema, it meant ladies that came from outside of Vrindavan into Vrindavan and got married there and then had the association of the devotees. And the same thing, even the cow, it describes like that. And it's Kali, so many things. And then it finally gave the example, and then I think that's basically almost where we left off, that of all those who attain love for Krishna, the highest development of that love is the gopis. The highest development of that love. And when Krishna says Paramaguyam, I'm the topmost secret, why is someone telling his secret? Because in this you can't hide your feelings. And then Krishna explains his feelings and shows that the greatness of satsanga, how it can give that love, how it can control Krishna so much that it can give such a depth of love. And he begins to describe the love of the gopis and their sentiments when Krishna is leaving Vrindavan. And it's specifically, you'll understand from the Antya-lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's that sentiment of love that Krishna wanted to taste and therefore came in the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, he's discussing that this association of the saints is so effective that even without proper knowledge or awareness, and it's just like an object which has potency, it's not dependent on its surroundings. Travel doesn't know it's fire, but does it burn? Yes, does it burn? It's a virus. You don't know what the virus is. Do you get sick? Yes, you get sick. Poison. I like to tell you, oh, what is this? I don't know what this is. You take it, the effect is there. It's describing that in this, and not in the sense of a bad way, but in terms of an object which has potency, it's not dependent on its surroundings. And that's the effect of satsanga. And he quotes this example, with it, which is Devahuti, who approach Kardama Muni for sense gratification. But Kardama Muni was such a saint that even that association, she became enlightened. Now, because some of you, it's actually interesting, we ordered the books from India, Rati Krishna. He made an arrangement. I think about 20 people ordered the text, so they'll actually have it. But if you read it, it's very interesting. The word is abhaya, means out of a lack of awareness. So the verse was association to sense gratification is certainly the path of bondage. But the same type of association performed with a saintly person leads to the path of liberation, even if performed without awareness and knowledge. Now, I want to say for those people who've got the Bhakti Sandarbha, the way I personally study it, I have the folio program, I have Prabhupada's books, and it's mostly references from the Bhagavatam with commentaries. This is how I study the Bhagavatam. Then I go to that section, and I read the verse in the purport, and I look at the context of that. And I think it is, because I have to say, looking at the translations, the translations are not the clarity of the BBT translations. And it's good to look at them. And also just look at the story, because he quotes the story. It doesn't necessarily say what the story is. He just gives a reference. So I went today to this story. Oh, this is Kardama Muni. This is what this verse is. And so it gives you extra meaning, and plus you get the purports, which are summaries of the commentaries, because Prabhupada's purports are summaries of, what is it, 6 or 8 different commentaries and his own realization on them. So otherwise, sometimes it's a little difficult to figure it out. So he says he wants to, this appears to contradict something that was spoken before in Anuchade 179, because it described how to regard great devotees such as ordinary saints was already condemned. He said so it appears like a contradiction, because one says even without awareness. But then it gave an example of someone who treated a great devotee as an ordinary saint. To treat them as an ordinary sadhu, and that was condemned. So Jiva Goswami said, how do you reconcile that? And he said that in that section, what was actually described is the reason the person was treated as an ordinary saint is because that person had little knowledge and was proud. In other words, everyone would benefit from the saint without awareness, except one who has, the term was, has a little knowledge and is proud. And therefore there's some element of envy or not recognizing for that reason. Then you won't benefit. Then it just means, lack of awareness means innocent. But if there's some attitude there, you know, your pride, even though you not actually have knowledge, because if you have knowledge, you'll treat the saint properly. So Jiva Goswami says, there it was said that such an attitude impeded one's ability to shift his or her focus towards the absolute. So again, the same point is turned again and again. That devotional practices turn your focus towards God, and that's how you advance. And that's how you advance for the sake. We have to approach it in a proper way. In other words, if you're innocent, you lack awareness, that's one thing. But if you approach it with an attitude, so how can it be said there that the association of the wise is effective, even when it's performed without proper awareness? So how can you say that? Because what was said before, that, and he said, the statement made in Anuchet 179 was directed towards those who are cunning and proud of their petty knowledge, and thus deliberately sabotage the power of transformation that such association holds. So you're denying that person's... It's one thing to be innocent and then just be influenced because the person's so focused on God, but to consciously sabotage it by your attitude and deny that person's status, then your awareness won't turn towards God. For those who are innocent, however, association of the wise will be effective, even if such people lack proper awareness of the power of that association. Anuchet 244. So now that finishes prasanga, association. Now it's going to come paricharya, and I'm actually studying it. That's direct service. And direct service is even more powerful, although you can hearing in a mood of service is also the same. But the mood of service, when you're direct, not just associating, observing, or watching, but actually direct service, it quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.7.19. And this is Vidura. In relationship to Maitreya Muni, he says, I think he's talking to Uddhava, the rendering service to great devotees, by rendering that service to great devotees, one becomes immersed in a festival of impetuous love for the lotus feet of Krishna, the unchangeable Lord, which destroys the misery of material existence. And this word that is commented on is rati rasa. So actually I looked in Prabhupada translated it one way, translated a little bit different ways, but the commentators translated in either way. Rati rasa means in the ecstasy of your relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada translated that way. Rati rasa. It's also translated as a rati rasa as a festival of great joy. Rasa also a festival of rati, of great joy by that service. It also means in that service to the great souls, your relationship with Krishna awakened. And that's the greatest festival of joy. So the adjective tivra, impetuous, so it's rati rasa tivra, impetuous or powerful, qualifying the word rati rasa festival, indicates that the result attained through service is superior to that of mere association. Tivra, powerful, the direct service, again, in that proper attitude and mood, it's powerful. The verse also describes the concomitant result of such service as being the dissolution of material existence. Very powerful. And I really like studying the Bhagavatam in this way, by the way, and Prabhupada's purport. Because you get, Jiva Goswami kind of puts it into a particular context, and when I look at it into, you know, this is the context, and I see them more deeply, and then you appreciate how Prabhupada in the purport has brought out these points. So, therefore, Krishna said, the worship of my devotee exceeds the worship of me. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.21. So now he's going to go. How great that is about the worship. It exceeds me. And in this particular verse, I think it's Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. There's all sorts of way of serving him. But when it comes to the worship of the devotee, it says, Mad Bhakta Puja Adhika. That the puja of my devotee, Adhika, means it's Adhika, it's more. It's more than these other processes. It's superior to these other processes. Even to the worship of Krishna, which is mentioned in that verse. But Krishna says, Mad Bhakta Puja Adhika. This means that service to Krishna's devotees bestows much greater love for Krishna on the person who renders such service. I'm here with some of Radhanath Swami's disciples in Albany, and they're especially there. Yeah, my Guru Maharaj was saying that all along, again and again, class after class. But he didn't make it up. This is the conclusion of the Shastras. This is why he stresses it again and again and again. This is the conclusion of the Shastras. A similar statement is made in Uttarakhanda of the Padma Prana, quote, of all types of worship, the worship of Lord Vishnu is supreme, but O God is superior even to that is worship of his devotees. Now, in Jiva Goswami's argument, an argument is always given, it's called yatirek. It's in the Bhagavatam. You want to convince someone to do something, you tell its glories, and then you tell what happens when you don't do it. So this is yatirek. Once we go through these classes, you'll start to appreciate more and more and learn, as Jiva Goswami, how he presents these things. So it's a famous verse. Somehow I was looking it up today, and I wanted to find the context, but I believe it's when the residents of Vrindavan come back to Kurukshetra, and they meet the residents of Dwarka, and the residents of Dwarka start to, you know, see Nanda and Yasoda, and then they give this verse. I believe that's it. It's a very famous verse. Prabhupada quoted all the time. Yasyatma buddhi kunupe sudhatuke sudhi kletradishu boma ijubi yatirta buddhi salile nakari chit kineshu abhigeshu se eva go kara. So I'm sorry I don't have my computer here. I would rather also read the translation given in the 10th canto, but it's basically, I'll read the translation here. If the translations here, they're more literal in one sense, but they lose some of the clarity and force sometimes. One who believes this corpse-like body, which is comprised of the three elements, mucus, bile, and air, to be oneself. One who thinks his wife, children, and others to be his very own. Who regards earthen images, who says the deity, as objects of worship, or who accepts the water of a river to be the place of pilgrimage, but who never considers those who have realized the absolute to be as dear as the self, as intimate relations, as worshipful, or as purifying places of pilgrimage, is considered to be an ass among animals. In other words, And I'm going to explain it. It's a very interesting thing, but Jiva Goswami explains that in this verse, there's four life attitudes. You have an attitude towards yourself, you have an attitude towards others. You have an attitude towards divinity, and you have an attitude towards sacred objects. So this verse says that if you have these attitudes, but you don't have the same attitudes towards the devotees, or more towards devotees than you have towards yourself, towards others. Well, let's say you don't have these attitudes towards the devotee, then se'eva gokura. And Prabhupada translates it here, you're no better than a camel or an ass. Gokura. I remember one time Vidyananda Maharaj was speaking about this verse, and he has a humorous way of saying, he says, you know, if one thinks the body to be the self and, you know, all these things and goes to the holy place to bathe but doesn't associate with the saintly persons, then the Bhagavatam says, congratulations. You're no better than a cow or an ass. And Jiva Goswami is actually amazing. Jiva Goswami actually does his, I don't know, zoological research, and this verse, Gokura, is a special ass of Afghanistan. He's like the stupidest of all asses. So he picked the Gokula. So it's a camel or an ass, or it's a specific type of ass. It's the worst type of ass. So if you don't serve the devotees, as you serve yourself, as you serve others, as you, you know, worship the deity, and as you treat sacred places. Se'eva gokura. If these life attitudes are not put towards the devotees, how unfortunate. It's the basis of spiritual life. And you can see, and I was saying too, why Radhanath Swami, he emphasizes that, even in Chopati, where, you know, there's very high-class people, Indians and Bombay and rich people and from Brahmin families, some of the, you know, it's like a very high class of people. But still he's emphasizing that. Why? Because of the nature of Kali Yuga. Cannot give respect, the age of quarrel and confusion. He's repeating it again and again and again. Because it's not only... You lose your, you don't get the benefit of spiritual life, but you ruin your spiritual life if that respect is not there. And we can see what happens and how in the Gaudiya Vaishnava society with the introduction of internet and so many things, how people look lack some bandhagyan, understanding the truths, the tattvas of Krishna consciousness of how to relate with a devotee. It's amazing, in the name of religion or even the name of Prabhupada, what people think the philosophy is. If you actually know the philosophy of Krishna, how careful you are with the devotees, how respectful you are with the devotees. And you can see, even there it's stressed in that type of culture, and when it's not stressed in this type of culture, what happens in the name of Vaishnavism? So, I've studied in the Bhakti Sandhava, you know, how heavy Jiva Goswami is about this, about Vaishnavas and Vaishnava apparat. Now, I'm going to read the purport. I think it'll be interesting enough that I can read it, but follow along. The verse mentions four objects of identification: the body, relatives, divinity, and earthen images and sacred water. It also describes four corresponding life attitudes: Atmabuddhi, the sense of self; Swadhi, the sense of kinship or relatives, relatedness; Ijadi, the sense of divinity; and finally, Tirthabuddhi, the sense of the sacred. These four attitudes become limitations when chained to the objects which they identify. In other words, their limitations, if they're only chained to these objects and not to the devotee. And that's even what a Kanishtha Adhikari means. It's just the deity, not the devotees. This verse describes a person whose sense of self is limited to the body, whose sense of kinship is limited to the relatives, whose sense of the divine is limited to earthen images, and whose sense of the sacred is limited to a physical locality, and not to the devotee. Very incredible purport. This verse describes a person in whom these four life attitudes, the sense of self, or relatedness, of divinity, of the sacred, remain as limitations to objects, and thus do not extend to those who have realized the absolute truth. You don't extend it to those who realize the absolute truth. So, Eva Gokara. So, this Satsavan. This verse describes a person in whom these four life attitudes, okay, the sense of self, Atmabuddhi, in this context, refers to what one considers to be one's object of greatest affection, the self. One who does not feel these four types of affection towards the sages is described as Gokara, the lowest of the animal. So if you don't feel that type of affection that you feel to yourself, that you feel to others, that you feel to sacred images, that you feel to the holy place, that same type of affection is not extended to the devotees, you're condemned. Everyone work hard today? Okay, I can see. Now, Gokara, the lowest of the animals, the word Gokara may also refer to a species of wild donkeys found in the land of Sindhu and Savira, as well as to a class of malechas or outcasts. But the verse emphatically states that only the person who is unable to extend the four life attitudes towards the sages is to be designated as Gokara. No one else is deserving of such a title, because although he truly believes himself to be a wise man, he behaves like a fool. So this is, of course, in other words, the little knowledge and proud. Atma Buddhi, the self, you know, people, oh yeah, I'm my relatives, and you know, so I'm so much affection, I'm such a great person. You know, earthen deity, earthen images, oh, I'm such a great devotee, the holy places, and considers himself, you know, but it this is the greatest fool. Specifically this. The import is that if such a person is lower than the lowest of animals, a wild donkey or an outcast. Now, Jiva Goswami, he's such a careful scholar that nothing will be misunderstood, everything in context. But when it comes to the relations with devotees, he's very heavy always. I've seen that. This is very heavy. And doesn't you know, I remember when, you know, he's talking about, you know, Vaishnava Aparad, and then, and if you can't criticize, you should kill yourself. And he goes on. He doesn't even explain that. When normally he's so, you know, he's so analytical, but these points, they want to sit in so heavily. Because it's the essence of spiritual life. The limitation of the divine to earthen images refers to the worship of ordinary gods, as understood from the verses preceding this one in the chapter in which the identical topic is being. It cannot refer to the worship of the deity of Vishnu, but this would contradict the principle stated. So if you worship the deity of Vishnu but not the devotees, you're not Gokula. You are Kanishtha. He wants to make that point. If you're worshiping Vishnu, and you don't worship the devotees, you're Kanishtha Adhikari. you're not Gokula. But if you're worshiping the demigods and not the devotees, then you're Gokula. Because he said, you see, he thinks someone will say, well, the previous you said that one who worships is not like that. He said, because in 11.2, it said one who faithfully worships Lord Hari only in the form of the deity, but does not render service to the Lord's devotees or to other living beings is a neophyte devotee. And Jiva's comment says, although there is a similarity in these two verses, that they both refer to worshippers who fail to recognize the divine in the devotee of the sage, the immature worshiper of Vishnu is described simply as a neophyte. But the immature worshiper in the former verse is described as the lowest of animals. Since these two descriptions do not match, the former verse can only refer to the worship of ordinary gods and not the Vishnu. So when it says the deity, and it says Gokula, and when it says the deity, a neophyte, the former one must refer to not Vishnu, but the demigods. But we still shouldn't become Kanishtadakars. That's not also promoted. And then he also finds another contradictory verse, because it says, you know, if you worship Vishnu, but not the devotees, you're condemned, or you're a neophyte, he'd say, but if we say, then he quotes from the fourth canto, just as by pouring water on the root of a tree, the trunks, branches, and twigs become nourished, just as supplying food to the life air, the senses gain strength. Simply by worshiping Lord Krishna, everyone is worshipped. That seems to contradict that. But he says there, this verse in which the worship of Krishna and Vishnu is recommended should not be equated with the former verse, which belittles the worship of the ordinary gods. In other words, this verse talking about Krishna, it's different because it's Krishna himself who says, worship my devotee. And the senses is, therefore in that sense, you're also watering to water the leaves that are devotees, because it's Krishna himself. And basically the verse is just saying, if you worship the root, everything else is taken care of. But the devotees are also the root. Because as it says in the Bhakti Rasa Mitta Sindhu, Anukulena Krishna Anushiranam, it says you should worship Krishna. But Prabhupada made it very clear in the purport that Krishna means Krishna and his manifestations and his differentiated parts, which also means the devotees. Anyway, that's going on. Now, I'll probably stop for questions, but coming up is going to be just a few more topics on the devotees. One, it wants to describe the characteristics of a person. I'll do this, who has attained perfection through this paricharya service of the devotees. So he quotes 4.9.12. So this is a verse who shows the attainment. So it says, in other words, if you do this and you do it properly, so, you can attain perfection. And it says, O lotus navel lord, those who associate with your devotees, whose minds are captivated by the fragrance of your lotus feet, do not care for this precious mortal frame. And you actually become completely detached. You actually achieve bhava, and a symptom of bhava, you become indifferent to this world. And then what's going to happen after this is very interesting. I'm just going to tell you the difference, because we're going to finish this section. In the next it says, previously talked about service to great Vaishnavas, now he talks about service to all Vaishnavas. Isn't that great? Now, to all Vaishnavas, not just the great Vaishnavas. And then he quotes verse after verse after verse. One should therefore please the Vaishnavas to attain the mercy of Lord Vishnu. There is no doubt that Lord Vishnu is pleased. Padma Purana, one who does not worship the devotees of Lord Govinda after worshiping him is not known as a devotee. Rather, he is simply a pretender. It goes on and on. Actually, it's two pages. Just about worship of the devotees. One certainly goes to hell if one regards the devotee of the Lord from the mundane perspective of caste, and thus considers him a sudra, an outcast. It goes on and on. It's very, very beautiful. That section is there. It actually goes on. That section I'm probably going to have to summarize, although there's, there'll be very, very heavy stuff going on here. It says, those who are naturally drawn to the worship of the Vaishnavas, however, should not judge even the conduct of a Vaishnava. As Gita says, Api Chet Siddharacharo, Vajate Mama Nanyabha. Even though a devotee's behavior may be abominable, if he worships me with exclusive devotion, he should be considered saintly. A similar statement, even if a devotee of Lord Vishnu is ill-behaved and does not belong to any social order, he or she purifies all people, just as the rising sun drives away all darkness. So we're going to discuss those points where, you know, it goes, you know, that you worship, even if he's ill-behaved, the respect has to be there. Of course, the principle is the respect should always be there, but according to the person's behavior, you should stay the distance necessary to maintain that respect. You should always respect the devotees, and if getting too close causes ill respect, then stay far away, but respect him. That's a Vaishnava. That's a Vaishnava. Anyway, it's very, very elaborate in that section. Because it's about 3 pages on that, I'm going to have to probably summarize it in the next thing. And then after that, it goes on to the next sequence, which is really nice, which is hearing and the effects of hearing and hearing about the name, hearing about the form, hearing about the form. Okay, I'm going to stop now for today. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bol.
This is Nanda Dalal. Sorry, it's always delayed in attending. So
always nice to hear from you whenever you can come on.
This is the book that you wrote, right, Mara?
No, I didn't write this. My God. Jiva Goswami wrote this, and it was translated. Oh. This translation is by a devotee in Vrindavan named Sitjan Ryan.
Oh, okay.
No, my God. This is like one of the greatest scholarly treatises, and then translated with great, you know, austerity from the Sanskrit. It's actually quite a good translation. I mean, it's quite good, actually. Okay. Thank you, Nam. Anything else?
No. When is that available, this book?
My book is nothing. This is another. Mine is my journals. That comes out at the end of this month. I should get it. It's being shipped from India, and they promised by the end of this month. But just in case, they're sending us 25 copies by plane. But they promise us by the end of the month.
So we can.
And if you believe that, no.
In the Panihati festival, that will be available.
It will be available by the Panihati festival because I told them that the festival was June 1st. So. I'm not going to tell them that I need the books by then. I told them it was June 1st. I didn't tell them June 1st. I tell them it's a book signing. So I'll sign a book on June 1st.
Oh, okay.
So I won't lie. But we're pressuring them like anything. They're promising. Yeah, we should have them in the Panihati, I think, here, you know.
Okay.
When we do the art teaching kirtan, I'll sign some books, yeah.
Okay.
Anybody else like to ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Gail? Hare Krishna. Okay.
Yeah, I was really struggling today to follow. There were a couple of points where I was wanting more clarity, you know.
Please, that'll help others too.
When you were describing the, Jiva Goswami was saying that the person who sees himself, the semi-members, the deity, and
in other words, sacred places. Yeah.
If he sees those things separately from the devotee,
he doesn't extend the same affection that he has for those things to the devotees. And it made the thing, if the earth, like someone who's worshipping the demigods and has deities of demigods but doesn't respect the devotee, or one doesn't extend the affection that one has for his own self to the devotees, or one doesn't extend the affection he has even for relatives that he has for the devotees. Of course, relatives may also be devotees. But if you see him on that platform, that mundane type of affection, and you don't extend it to the Vaishnavas, then he's... And I think there's a sense in there also where this means the person, when it says sacred objects and things, it's a sense that the person has a little knowledge but's not doing it.
What was that last night?
He has a little knowledge because he's worshiping deities, and the way Prabhupada actually translated it really impregnated the real meaning. That you go to the holy place to take bath. That's what Prabhupada translated. You go to the holy place to take bath, but don't see the saintly persons. So it indicates, boy, that's a real fool. Because the whole purpose of going to a holy place is to turn your awareness towards God. But you just go there to take bath and not actually go to the main means of turning your consciousness to God. So that's what's really, really condemned. You know what I'm saying? Holy place means the purification. And we can think sometimes if we go to holy places, but you don't go there to hear. You know what I'm saying? You have to speak of going there for like a social thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember Satchinandana Swami telling me, I said, you're not coming here so much. He said, I want to keep it sacred. And I told that to Satchrut Maharaj, actually. Because he asked me something. He one time came to about 10, 15 years ago, he came to Vrindavan, and all his disciples came at that time. And then he was so much in anxiety, he was just so busy. And he said, what do you think? I said, no, you should come and, make sure everything that you, and I told him what Satchinandana said, that his real desire when he came to the Dham is to keep it sacred, special. And Papa therefore said 3 days or 3 years. Why? Because 3 days means you can focus your attention. If you stay longer, then you better have some service, and have something serious. There's that sense there. There's that sense of. So if you don't have that sense, and it's just what the verse is also in the context that it's being made, the whole point is that this is the most powerful means to turn your awareness towards God. It's like if Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, right? And you went there to Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was in his room speaking, right? And then you just went to the Jamuna. It's nice, but it's not going to have the same power, right? Because it Gangara Parasya Haila Paschetya Prava, it says, you bathe in the Ganga many, many times, you become purified, Narottam says. But once by just seeing the devotee, and one time there was a godbrother Prabhupada that visited the Krishna Bhavan Mandir, Bhakti Bhai Bhat Puri Maharaj. And we were telling him how Prabhupada at that time, the Russian devotees and Krishna consciousness being spread in Russia by Prabhupada's mercy and his followers. And he became very excited and started to glorify Prabhupada and quoted that verse. He said, that's the power of the devotee. He said, if you understand that verse, many times you have to bathe in the Ganga. You have to immerse yourself, but not even touching the devotee, just seeing it. Darshana Pavitra Kora, Etamaradu. That is the quality. Not even touching, just seeing. So throughout the Shastras, the power of the devotee is glorified. So the person that you know, doesn't extend it to the devotee, goes to the holy place, but doesn't respect the devotees, doesn't take prasanga, doesn't do paricharya, then, you know, what a fool. So Eva Gokura. So Jiva Goswami is taking this verse in this context and studying it in this context. If you don't serve the devotee, you're a fool. Because he's saying, well, you serve the devotee, how glorious is it? Now it's yatirek, indirect logic. You don't serve the devotee, what a fool. So Eva Gokura, congratulations.
Yeah, so in relation to the Dham, I can understand, you know. You go to the Dham, what's the value of going to the Dham is so you can hear from the devotee.
Yeah, well, there's also benefit in the Dham. I'm not minimizing the Dham.
Yes.
But now, it's, yeah.
But then having, you know, taking that same kind of connection between the self, the Atma, and the devotee.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I should explain to you that I didn't put this, but Prabhupada translates it also. Yasyatma Bhute, Atma Bhute Kunape Siddhartike. Kunape means, it's translated. I'm wondering if I didn't discuss this. Kunape means corpse. If you're worshipping the corpse, the affection is for the corpse. Corpse is a dead body. The body is dead. If the affection is for that, and not the devotee, so Eva Gokura. And understand, I mean, it doesn't mean we shouldn't have self-esteem, it doesn't mean we shouldn't treat our family properly, you know? It's emphasizing, if you understand what the soul is, and the power of the proper association, that's the point. If you don't extend it to the devotees, especially the pure devotees, you know, although later on it's going to describe devotees in general, but the pure devotees, if you have that, this is the Bhagavatam, it's pure bhakti, it's spiritual consciousness. This is talking about going back to Godhead and solving your problems once and for all. And from that perspective, if you don't extend the affection towards the devotees, the pure devotees, and of course, you know, it's not just a mental thing. It means to serve and develop, because this is about service to the devotees and service to the pure devotees. And of course, I know these verses can be taken in contexts and places that could be misunderstood. But there is a certain hermeneutics, you know, how to understand Shastra and their statements and what they're really, you know, you try to get the message. The message here is how great is the service of the devotees, and if you don't serve them, you know, it's condemned. Anything else, Gail? That was nice. Thank you for helping. I'm glad I stopped early because, it's good to hear from the audience. To get anything else?
Yeah, actually, there was a couple of other things. One was, I wasn't sure if you had said this or not. Did you ever say that the service, you know, active service to the devotees was greater than this hearing from them?
Well, not hearing. I think it says prasanga means just association. Devotee is so powerful just to be in his presence, which I guess means watching him and hearing him. But definitely in that verse, paricharya, the direct service. But I think hearing can also be in the category of direct service also. It's also service. But paricharya, you know, in the commentary there by Jiva, it seemed to be very, very much. And also, you know, I'm also seeing, you know, you can also see, you know, when you study Jiva Goswami, you know, the basis of Prabhupada's teachings, how much he recommended service and the power of service to the devotees. You know, there's even a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the fourth canto, where it describes Vishvandana Guru Seva in a real intimate service out of love for the Guru. You know, and he described that even as, and this is a context of 500 years ago, so people today won't understand it, but it said, even as a chaste wife can neglect the children to the service of the husband, and similarly, you know, someone who has an intimate mood of service can neglect the bliss of chanting and hearing, you know, for that intimate service of the Guru. You know, so it's, yeah, there's some type of, and the word was rati rasa, tidra, very forceful and powerful festival of joy. So, yeah, there was some emphasis on that, to actually serve, the service.
Yeah,
of course, yeah, there was. But, you know, again, the point is, the turning one's awareness towards God, and obviously hearing is so powerful, and obviously hearing is service, and Shravanam, Kirtan, and Vishnu, the three most powerful practices of devotional service are hearing, chanting, and remembering. So it means that the service to the devotees invokes that. It inspires that, so it's not like it's disconnected. Because those are the main ways of actually absorbing the consciousness. But it says, you know, you serve the devotee so closely, and that association, and the affection that develops, and the consciousness that develops is very, of course, familiarity breeds contempt. That's also there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gail, thank you very much for your questions. I appreciate it because this is a technical subject and sometimes I fear I may lose the audience. But thank you.
I'll save the last one for maybe email.
Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna today?
Well, Hare Krishna again. Jai Vaidhi Swami here.
Thank you, Jai Vaidhi Marge. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Anybody else out there?
Hare Krishna.
Is that?
Prema.
Prema. Hare Bo. Nice section on Satsava, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Thank
you. Thank you, Prema. Good. I'm getting a sense of my audience. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna there? Someone trying to unmute their phone? Someone else? One more person? Okay, I'm going to check the numbers on my computers. I hope we didn't lose the audience because last week I missed the class. But those who miss it, they will be unfortunate because this is really powerful stuff. Okay, thank you. Vancha Kalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam.